I want to say I'm certainly appreciative of the invitation to speak for you today. It's an honor to be among such wonderful men who have brought lessons to us, and I feel an honor to join them in bringing thoughts to you from the Word of God. Mike, is the PowerPoint working? I'm not going to use it. I just want to know if it's working. I was asked by Mike to speak, and I was hesitant at first because of not knowing what my schedule would be. And well, to make it short, if I hadn't have accepted, Rick would have been up here now, so blame Mike for that. I apologize in advance for that. So my subject is the roles of men and women, God's roles for men and women. Small changes make a very big difference, would you agree? I'm going to make a very small change in what I have written on the board. This was the topic given to me. I'm going to change that in a very small way and make that read God's rules for men and women. Because I was discussing this with Steve Wright, I asked him about this and some other things that I was going to discuss today, and he came back to this and he said, if you know the rules, you'll know your role. And I agreed with that wholeheartedly. We will look at some of the rules and then define or find out some of our roles by knowing the rules. In looking at God's rules for men and women, I went to the book of Genesis. I found what I think is in the record, the first rule that was given to men, the human beings upon this earth. In Genesis 1:26, God's first rule for mankind was to rule over fish, birds, livestock, and all the earth and everything that moved upon it. And then verse 27, God created mankind, male and female. And let's remember that when we come to that later in my talk. This afternoon, He created male and female. The second rule I find is more or less a set of rules. In Genesis 1:28, He says, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. And I remember John Lee making the statement, this is probably the one and only law that God gave to us that we have fulfilled properly. Subdue the earth, and again, rule fish, birds, and every living creature upon the earth. The third rule I found is in Genesis 2:15, that given to Adam and Eve, they were to work in and be caretakers of the Garden of Eden. And this command concerning, and then we have the command in that concerning the trees that were in Eden. Rule number four, Genesis 2:24, a man, singular, is to be united to his wife, singular. Wife. Will anyone assert or affirm that wife means anything except that of the female gender? You will not find a dictionary or a commentary that will affirm or assert that the word woman means anything but wife or the female. This is the first rule directed specifically to the male, and it is quoted by Christ in Matthew 19:5 and Paul in Ephesians 5:13, that a man was to leave his family, his mother and father, and be united to his wife. Until Adam and Eve sinned, these are the recorded rules that God gave to man and woman. But because of sin, God added more rules, therefore changing the roles of man and woman. I find then the fifth recorded rule given to man and woman is in Genesis 3:14, where God cursed the serpent first, and this is after they had eaten of the forbidden fruit. The sixth rule was that to Eve, her desire was to be to her husband, and he will rule over you. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 3, we find what we have here, what we would call the chain of command. We have God, Christ, man, and woman. In Ephesians 5:22, it says, the wife is to submit to her husband. In the record in Genesis, it says that the husband is to rule over the wife, or the wife's desire will be to her husband, and he will rule over you. The word rule is not used there in Ephesians 5:22, but the word submit. The definition that I found for the word to submit is this: to willingly yield one's own rights. To willingly yield one's own rights is the definition of submission. In Genesis 3:17, I find the seventh rule. To Adam, God cursed the ground to produce weeds. He was to eat food earned with hard labor, and he was cursed with death. Rules 5, 6, and 7 are all commanded by God after the forbidden fruit was eaten, but before Adam and Eve were cast from the Garden of Eden. My question to you, has God changed any of these rules? Or has man changed the roles? One of the assigned questions now that was asked of me is this: is mainstream acceptance of homosexuality the lowest level to which man can sink? Is mainstream acceptance of homosexuality the lowest level to which man can sink? Is this question referring to homosexuality or to the acceptance of it? What is mainstream? If you turn the television on and you see a certain newscast, and it might be labeled as mainstream, and another one might be liberal, or another one right-wing, or all of these different things. I don't know what mainstream is. I think each one of us probably have our definition, and it's probably what you think or what I think. That's what mainstream is. Is mainstream acceptance of homosexuality the lowest level? So is the acceptance of homosexuality the lowest level, or is homosexuality the lowest level to which man can sink? I ask this question. Whatever that question is, in whose eyes? God's eyes or man's eyes? In God's eyes, mankind reached its lowest level in Genesis 3:6, when Eve, then Adam, ate of the forbidden fruit. What did they do? They sinned. God does not classify nor say that one sin is worse than another. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. Revelation 21:8 says, the cowardly, along with murderers and the sexually immoral, will be in the lake of fire. Philippians 2:14 says, complainers and arguers cannot be the children of God. God's spiritual laws are different than man's civil laws, in which we have varying degrees of punishment. God's spiritual law says do or do not. God's spiritual law says you live or you will die. God's spiritual law says it is right or it is wrong. There is eternal bliss or there is eternal condemnation. Man's civil laws provide for pardon, probation, parole, incarceration, or even capital punishment. In our eyes, homosexuality is much worse than complaining, arguing, or being cowardly. But not in God's eyes. In Romans, the first chapter, I want to read for you, starting in verse 22, concluding with verse 28. Romans 1, 22. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They became fools. Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1 says, "A fool says in his heart, there is no God." In my very young days, I was often reminded and told, and it was given to me, that I was never to call someone a fool. I have since changed my thinking upon that. When I see someone who admits and says there is no God, in my eyes today, that person is a fool because of what the psalmist said. It may not be very nice, but it may be true when they say there is no God. Verse 23, they made idols, therefore effectively saying, there is no God. We don't have a God, so we're going to make an idol of metal or stone or wood. Or we're going to create something that is a God for us. In verses 24, 26, and 28, we find this phrase repeated. God gave them over. Remember that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God sends a powerful delusion so that unbelievers will believe a lie. And God also granted Satan limited power over Job. God gave them over. He gave them over to these unnatural affections listed in verse 26. Male, they exchanged the natural, male and female relations for male and male and female relations. We find this is not new, because we find in Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and Eric referred to that chapter just briefly a minute ago, in Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20:13, these very acts are addressed as detestable, and what's the penalty? They were worthy of death for these very things. In the book of Leviticus, back when the old law was given, so it is not, we're not dealing with something that is new upon the scene. In verse 27, the men were doing what the women were doing in verse 26. Again, male upon male relationships, female with female relationships. We know the story in Genesis 19, and I'll not go there other than to mention it, about the account of Lot with the two men, the two angels, came to him into his city. And I remember the terrible thing that he said to them, "I will send my daughters out to you. They have not known men," and they refused. They wanted their relationships with those two men. So what am I going to say about homosexuality or the acceptance of it in today's society? I'm going to say this, what the Scripture says. Paul said in Romans 15:4, the things are written aforetime were written for our learning. Will we learn from those things that have happened before, or will we disregard and suffer the consequences? A quick review of things we have discussed. God created male and female, and the sexually immoral, those who deviate from those laws that have been given, will be in the lake of fire. Have we learned it? Have we learned that that's going to happen? It will be to our detriment if we do not, as a person or as a society. Is a person born a homosexual, or does a person become a homosexual? In Tad's opening statement last yesterday afternoon, he said, we live in a complicated world, and we need to simplify it somewhat, and I agree with that. That's a very complicated question. I don't intend to take it head on. I intend to simplify it in a manner that, in my mind, is my opinion. If you disagree with me, you have that very right to do that. I'm not here to answer directly that question, but please consider this question related to that. If I were born with, or later in life, acquired a propensity towards alcoholism, robbing banks, or beating my wife and children, but if I never drank alcohol, never robbed a bank, never beat my wife and children, would I be guilty of that sin? And I believe there is scriptural backing for this opinion. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to read verses 9 through 11. Did I say 2nd? I meant 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Homosexual offenders. You might say I'm picking out a word there that substantiates my opinion or my point, and I am. I believe that when it says in the NIV translation from which I'm reading, the homosexual offenders, indicating, giving the implication, someone might be a homosexual but be an offender or not be an offender. At any rate, those persons, even the ones who had committed homosexual acts, were what? They were washed, they were sanctified, they were justified in Christ's name by God's Spirit. Shifting gears. What about roles and rules in the church? Men, we know, and I don't think with the attendance that we have here this afternoon that I need to go to Scripture to prove these. If you wish, we will go over those personally. Men are to be elders, deacons, and evangelists. I don't believe that you'll find a legitimate translation of the Scripture to indicate otherwise. Women, in 1 Timothy 2 and 12, are not to take or hold authority over man. That would be contrary to Genesis 3:16, where it was said that her desire would be to her husband and he would rule over her. Should there be in the church female elders, deacons, evangelists, ministers, and pastors? I think of what happened to Israel when they wanted a king. And what happened? Well, why did they want a king? Everybody around them had a king. We want to be like them. We want to be like this country. We want to be like that nation. They have a king. It looks so good to have a king. All in all, very little good happened to Israel with their kings. My understanding is there were probably about 3 good kings among all of them. Just because everyone else is doing it does not justify it or make it right, let alone what we know of the Scripture. An interesting flyer which came to the building at Lawrence was this one. It's called Living Proof Live, featuring Beth Moore. Let me read the enticing advertisement to come here, Beth Moore. And this is at a religious organization in Shawnee, Kansas, a suburb of Kansas City in Johnson County. Living Proof Life continues to be the perfect mix of biblically sound messages and worship from beloved teacher Beth Moore and worship leader Travis Cottrell. This fun, authentic, meaning there are some, I suppose, that are unauthentic. Ministry team prepares a unique message from God for each location You'll leave knowing that the message you heard was created just for you. Cost is $28. Dwayne, check the ticket stubs as they go out if no one's paid. Very attractive young lady here. Taking the place, taking the authority, usurping control by having her name. And maybe her teaching was just as pure as any teaching that we have had here today. But that is not, according to the Scripture, roles for women. And I think that we are all aware of that. Gay marriage. I was asked my opinion some time ago on what I thought of gay marriage. I said, I don't have one. Met with some surprise, and I said, I cannot have an opinion on an entity that does not exist. Genesis 2 and 24, again, be united to his wife. Definition of wife is a woman. In preparing thoughts for these talks, I am aware of certain things I knew of this subject. And so reading newspapers, reading articles, some things just stand out and you say, I can use that. This is taken from the local paper in Lawrence. It was in August of this past year sometime. It says, gay marriage, another sign of moral decay. Written by Cal Thomas, a conservative, a man who I do not know his particular religious beliefs, but let me read to you what he said. I'll read some highlights from his article on gay marriage. A nation that does not see in law a right to life for its unborn children, and a court that allows more than 50 million of them to be killed, is not about to acquire a moral, much less a constitutional backbone when it comes to same-sex marriage. And he put marriage in quotation marks. His feeling there is the same as mine. When that's done, you use the word because there's no other word to use, but that's not the word you want to use. The decision by a single openly gay federal judge to strike down the will of 7 million Californians, tradition dating back millennia, not to mention biblical commands, which the judge decided in his capacity as a false god to also invalidate, is judicial vigilantism equal to Roe versus Wade. Another statement. A nation that loses its moral sense is a nation without any sense at all. Muslim fanatics who wish to destroy us are correct in their diagnosis of our moral rot, loss of a fear of God, immodesty, especially among women, materialism, and much more. While their solution, Sharia law, is wrong, they are not wrong about what ails us. And then the last statement that he makes. None of this should surprise anyone who takes the time to read and understand what happens to people and nations that disregard God. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, which is paraphrased in the Living Bible. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Proverbs 29:18. We had a long way to go and a short time to get there. I appreciate the opportunity. I hope that some things that I have presented to you have maybe not answered questions, but have opened thought pathways for you to continue studying on your own, to continue to follow the Word of God, no matter what everyone else is doing, what that congregation does, what that religious organization does, what they accept. We have the truth. And we thank God for that. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. If someone is here today that needs to be washed, justified, and sanctified, that opportunity is now. If it is not now and you have considered this for some time, and by the time you get home this evening and you decide that is the time for you, you call someone from your congregation. If it's from here, you call Dwayne or you call Mike or you call Bob, and they can get this taken care of for you. Or if it's in your local congregation away from here, you do that. Don't wait until Wednesday night or next Sunday. If you are committed and you are convinced and you're convicted that you need to be washed, justified, and sanctified to leave those things behind, no matter what they were, don't say, of all the things I've done, God can't forgive me of those. These people were, because it says you were these things, but now you are justified, sanctified, and washed. If you have the need, you let that be known as we stand and as we sing.